Hello, everyone, and welcome to Symphony of Disorder. I'm Dante Suave. This is my special guest, Tay Denzel. He's a recording artist, songwriter, and actor. And he'll be hanging out with us today. We'll be talking a little bit about his career, and we'll be going over the games of last week leading up to this weekend's Super Bowl. So, first, we'll go over the NFL. And the Detroit Lions 49ers game was a crazy game. But Detroit lost to the 49ers 31 to 34.
Big upset for Detroit. They thought they had that in the bag. I thought they had it too.
Yeah, Eminem thought he had it in the bag. That was a crazy game. A lot of people argue that Dan Campbell lived by the sword and he died by constantly going for it on fourth and not really having faith in his kicker because his kicker missed that first kick. But it's easy for us to go, well, woulda, shoulda, coulda. But I know as a Patriots fan, there was plenty of times that I looked at Belichick like, Belichick, why you do that? And they ended up winning the game, so I had to like eat it. So
how do you feel about these games that's one-sided, then all of a sudden it just, the whole momentum just shifts just like that? Like,
well, that's gonna happen in the playoffs, especially in the playoffs, because the tougher teams, the tougher defenses are going to be in the playoffs. And everybody should have improved by the time they get to the playoffs. And if they haven't, then that's where you see the whole situation where, like, I feel like the Dallas game, the Dallas Green Bay game, that was a crazy game. Dallas had never, all season, nobody has scored over 20 points. And Green Bay comes in there and scores 48. And, you know, so clearly Green Bay made some serious adjustments. They did some serious tape watching or something, because how they were able, with Jordan Love, to pull off 48 points in the dome and nobody, like even San Francisco, when they played them and they blew them out, the most they scored was like, no, actually, you know what? They did score in the 40s. Yeah, it was 42 to 10. I take that back. So they were the, but I don't think they played them at home though. I'll have to go back and
let us know in the comments.
Yeah, let us know in the comments. Anybody that knows the answer to that, but. The other game that was interesting and has a lot of people shocked, which once I saw the game, I got a quick understanding of why the score was what it was, was the Chiefs-Ravens game. Because I came into it like right after halftime and it was like 17-7 and I'm looking at the score like, what the? So I was confused, but after a few minutes of watching the game, I noticed some things. The defense was on Lamar Jackson. Like, nobody had been close to being on him all season. So, even when he had chances to run, he was hesitant because he thought he was going to get hit.
Yeah.
And that hesitation was enough to, even if they couldn't get to him, they got to him because he hesitated. Yeah. So I feel like that went against the Ravens, not to mention your quarterback should not also be your leading rusher of the game.
I agree.
If you're having that kind of day, you're probably gonna lose.
That's risky too.
That is the Lamar of old. Also, that is the reason why, because he's a talented dude. Obviously, he's a talented dude, but people couldn't figure out like, why can't he get into playoffs? Why can't he win when he does get into the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl? We know he has the talent. We know he has a talented arm. We know he has the ability to run, and he should be dominating the league in terms of getting to the AFC Championship and getting the Super Bowls. But when he puts everything on his shoulders and he's most of the offense, you're not going to win that way. There's very few quarterbacks that can win that way, especially if they're a dual threat, throwing and running. It's one thing if you just putting your arm on your shoulders. We've seen Peyton do it. We've seen Brady do it. We've seen Montana do it. Warren Moon did it. Dan Marino was probably the least successful of those that I just named, only because he went to one Super Bowl and he lost, and after that he never went to another one.
And so, do you think when these coaches see that type of talent, do you think they purposely try to like mold them into that type of player?
Well, I mean, so when you know you have a super talented player, it's more of a you're going off of what he wants. Mm-hmm. Unless you see his talent and you see he's not as elite as you think. Like, you can go back and you can look and see that certain quarterbacks, you know who runs their offense, because you'll see them out and they'll have that little thing on their arm, mm-hmm. and they'll actually run it. You've seen it with Brett. You've seen it with Peyton. You've seen it mm-hmm. with Tom. But everybody don't get that. A lot of these quarterbacks, the offensive coordinator is basically the one calling the plays into him and covering up his mouth. And
you come down to that IQ for sure. Like.
Oh, yeah. You definitely have to have the IQ and the talent, but you do got to have some trust. I don't care what
facts.
You got to have trust that makes in sense. That guy that is your top guy. And I feel like I don't ever remember watching a game and seeing – I've seen Lamar take over a game, but I haven't seen him take over a game where he was calling the play at the line. Yeah. Now, he may have done it. He's had a long career. I haven't watched every game. Hit me in the comments and let me know what games I may have missed where he was doing that. But other than that, every game I've watched, I feel like he does take over games, but he takes over games with his feet. And you're a quarterback at the end of the day. So name of the game is use that arm. Kill him with your arm. Which Patrick Mahomes, of all the recent quarterbacks, he is the best to do it and win the Super Bowl since Steve Young.
That's a big statement.
Because obviously we've had a bunch we've had the Donovan McNabb, we had the Michael Vick, we had Steve McNair, we had Dante Culpepper. Stop me.
You name some names too.
Stop me when you get to it. Last black quarterback to win the Super Bowl was before all of them. That was Doug Williams. Went to Washington Redskins, Denver game. That was my first NFL game that I ever watched.
Wow.
Jeez. Yep, I was sitting in Detroit with my first foster family, and me and my foster dad were watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and the Redskins beat them pretty bad. I felt bad for Elway. I really did. I felt bad for him. It was because Elway was a talented dude, but it wasn't until salary cap gate that he actually got his two rings. Don't nobody talk about that though. They talk about Deflategate and stuff all day, but they don't say nothing about salary cap gate. And that actually happened during the 2 years they got to take back.
That's crazy.
Because other than that, he had a losing record.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody talk about that either.
Yeah. Basically, they messed with their salary cap so that
that's crazy.
So that they could get the good players that they were able to get their hands on it, and the players that they were able to keep. That was the reason why, because they muffled with their salary cap.
And
but like I said, don't nobody talk about it because John Elway got gone. He got his two rings. And he was like, okay, I'm retired. And then all of a sudden, it came out and Denver got fined. But because they turned around and started losing, because they started getting people like he played for Cutler. They got Cutler with his egotistical self. How you gonna look a man in the face and be like, I got a better arm than you? And you just came into the league, and John Elway just look at you like, no, be one of those. Yeah, you're right.
It's a sports competitive sport, but you know how that is.
You got a better arm than me, sure. But yeah, both of the games were entertaining. I give kudos to the Lions for proving me wrong, because I didn't think that they were going to do much in the playoffs, and they completely proved me wrong. Even though they didn't get to the Super Bowl, yeah, they still did more than I thought that they were going to do, because they didn't have the history to back it up. They were the one team that, because everybody else did exactly what I thought that they were going to do. Dallas did what I thought that they were going to do. Cleveland did what I thought that they were going to do. Although Flacco had me worried. Cause Flacco came off the couch, yeah, playing good, and that presents a problem to DeSean Jackson. But that's another story for another day. With that, you got anything else on these games?
I think that, like I said, Detroit came out swinging, but it just wasn't enough, man. It was just, they fell short. And I really think that if they come out with that same energy and just stay with the game plan, next year they might see themselves in that same position. Hopefully going to the Super Bowl. If they can make it this far, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can go to the Super Bowl.
Well, that is our time on that subject, and we will be back after this break to talk about the NBA.
Get ready for an electrifying night of music at the Madison Theater, located at 730 Madison Avenue in Covington, Kentucky. December 6th, immerse yourself in an unforgettable experience as three incredible bands take the stage. First up, feel the pulse-pounding beats of Here Come Here, delivering a sound that will leave you craving more. Next, get ready to be blown away by the powerful and soulful tunes of American Sin. And don't miss the incredible Life After This, bringing you the unique blend of original and cover songs that will have you in the mosh pit all night long. Join us at Madison Theater for a night of music, camaraderie, and unforgettable moments. Bring your friends. Bring your energy. Madison Theater, where music comes to life. Get your tickets at madisontheater.com or visit 730 Madison Avenue, Covington, Kentucky. Are you ready to take your game to another level? At Dick's Sporting Goods, we've got everything you need to play like a pro. From top-notch gear to unbeatable prices on men's, women's, and kids' apparel, as well as brands like Nike, Puma, Adidas, Reebok, we've got you covered. Visit us in-store at our Sycamore Plaza Montgomery Road location in Cincinnati, or online at dickssportinggoods.com. Dick's Sporting Goods. Elevate your game, elevate your life. Anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, anger, loneliness. These are all real feelings that people fight against alone every day. It doesn't have to be that way. We all look out for each other and make sure that we all know that you're not alone, and you can always have someone to talk to. We can fight this and win. Autism is a neurological and developmental disorder that affects how people interact with others, communicate, learn, and behave. Symptoms usually start around age 2. Do you feel like you or a loved one may have autism? Come to Hope Ridge Autism Therapy Center. We have locations in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky to serve you. Don't try to go through this alone. To book an appointment, call 513-402-1711. That's 513-402-1711. We have locations in Milford, Ohio, as well as Crescent Springs, Kentucky. You can also check out our website at hopebridge.com. We are open from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Hope Bridge Autism Therapy Center is here to help.
Welcome back. This is Symphony of Disorder. I'm Dante Suave. This is Tay Denzel, my special guest. And now we're on to the NBA. lot of interesting games. I'm gonna go through all the scores, and then the game that me and Tay really want to focus on was Lakers-Hawks game, because that was an upset, and a lot of interesting things happened because of that game. So let's start speaking of that game. We'll start with that game. So the Lakers lost to the Atlanta Hawks 138-122. And Austin Reeves was the leading scorer for the Lakers, and Trae Young was the leading scorer with 26 for the Hawks. The parts of the game that I watched, they couldn't. It seemed like the Hawks couldn't miss for one. So that's like the one thing I'm gonna say like immediately, because that was just mystifying.
They came out firing, like it was just an ongoing thing too. Like they kept LeBron at 20 points, and yeah, they kept LeBron at 20. I was gonna say that.
Yeah, they had multiple people in double digits, whereas I think there might have only been three other than like Reeves and LeBron that was in three or four that were in double digits for the Lakers. It was just a bad day at the office, bottom line. But Tay was telling me a funny story about little Bootsy and
little Bootsy, you know. So as soon as Atlanta took that went home with them, yeah, little Bootsy, Desi Banks, and DC Young Fly, they was out in traffic celebrating pretty hard off that one. They, like I'm talking about, drunk at the gas station, playing Boosie music, turned all the way up, acting a fool.
That's insane. Kind of like the Detroit Lions last year when they put the Packers out of the playoffs. You would have thought they won the Super Bowl then.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that was crazy. Tay showed me the video. It was funny. But other than that, we'll run through the other games really quick, and then we'll talk about who we think is gonna possibly be some of the contenders to go to the NBA championship, and then we'll move on. So the next game that was on was the Toronto Raptors versus the Chicago Bulls. The Toronto Raptors took the game 118-107. Gary Trent led the Raptors with 24, and DeMar DeRozan led the Bulls with 25. I've always liked DeRozan, but I feel like he is a you can put him, he's levels down, but he plays like Harden and Westbrook and people of that ilk. Play like Derek Williams, like once he gets his hands on the ball, there's probably not going to be a whole lot of ball circulation. Don't get me wrong, he's a great player. I'm not saying, but just points wise, obviously he puts up the points. But
yeah,
if everybody's not in the game, if it's easy to cue in on you and just let everybody else kind of go, like, oh, we ain't worried about you. You know, yeah, go ahead, hike that up, shoot that shot. Oh man, oh, you got us. Oh man, oh, darn. Meanwhile, he going off, he leading the team, but they losing the game.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, dude, you killing us. Oh man, you killing it. Yeah, keep killing us. We got 2 minutes left. Oh man, what? And people don't. That's a lot of the reason why when me and you talk.
Yeah.
That's where it's come from, where it's like, where you look at something and you're like, oh man, did you see that? That was unbelievable. And I'm like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, because I've seen it happen so many times. Yeah. It's like, it's even happened to LeBron. I mean, for Christ's sake, when he took over the scoring record,
it
lost that game. And everybody was like, oh man, he took down Jabbar. And I'm like, Uh-huh. What was the final score again? Oh, yeah, they lost.
Facts.
Yeah,
you're right about that. You make your point for sure.
I know it's hard to deal with all the personalities, man, but you got to be able to figure that out if you're going to be a championship factor in the league. Yeah. That's part of what goes into it, and you got to figure it out. And despite what some legends, talented legends, has said, practice is important, mm-hmm. and you got to figure out how to get other people to buy in. Jordan went 6-0 because Phil figured out how to buy in, and reluctantly Michael gave in and allowed it to happen, and just he played everything from a general standpoint. He let Phil run the team, and he was the floor general. God help you if you weren't playing 110%. You better be ready to fight. And I'm not condoning that, but
that's the atmosphere it was.
It's 6-0. It's like when he played the full seasons, he was 6-0. It speaks for itself. So, but with that, let's see. We got the Pacers. The Pacers lost to the Celtics in a very close game. What's up with all these going back up in the hundreds again? Is there a issue with defense, or are the players just that talented, or is it a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both, and it's also we still in that Steph Curry era, like, you know what I'm saying, like them threes, man, them threes, boy, and everybody, you know what I'm saying, listen, man, it's the way that these teams have adjusted their playbooks to where they can get these points off, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and then you have all these new shooters coming into the game every other year, you know what I'm saying? And then you got the athletes perfecting their shooting, so they can outplay players like Steph, you know what I'm saying? Put up those numbers because in one first quarter, in the first quarter of a basketball game, it's easy to rack some points up if you got some snipers on your team. So, you know what I'm saying? So when you got a 3-point contest the whole game, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be in the hundreds. Because all right, these boys can shoot.
All right, I see that. Yeah, it looks like Aaron Nesmith led the Pacers with 26 points. And obviously Jason Tatum, my Duke product, the one that everybody said was going to not succeed in the NBA.
I knew he was hard.
Everybody said he wasn't going to succeed, and he's been proving y'all wrong, at least from a play aspect. He still needs to be able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and get at least one chip up under his belt to make it official. But from a player standpoint, he's a problem. Yep. So I'd like to personally thank everyone that basically picked him to be the least to be successful out of his draft, because ever since he heard that, he went, okay, I'm gonna prove all y'all wrong. And to me,
that's probably what he needed
he's
too.
Done it. He's done it.
It probably had to happen like that too.
Well, I mean, he was talented at Duke, so I was very confused because I didn't watch every Duke game with him, but I did watch a lot of the Duke games, and he was a talented dude then. And I wish I knew why people picked him to be the least successful out of everybody. But clearly they were wrong, because he definitely from a stats standpoint, he's a problem.
Yeah, they were terribly wrong.
But other than that, on to the next game. We got the Jazz and the Knicks. The Knicks won that game 118-103. Colin Sexton led the Jazz with 22, and Kenyatta George, no, sorry, Dante DiVincenzo led the Knicks with 33 points. Again, a lot of points.
I'm telling you what.
A lot of points.
You know, listen, the generations that's coming behind LeBron, and then these other players, like, it's coming behind LeBron, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, like that last little era before, like these guys are coming in and trying to make their mark. It's like It's like, in my playing, in my field, music, like, it's like, you know, you want, if you know you're great at what you do, you know you're gonna come out producing great things, but everybody not gonna be Drake. You know what I mean? It's like the same thing with the NBA. I feel like these athletes come in there and they just wanna make their mark and make history, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's where these big scores, all these points are coming from. I'm trying to do stuff like that, just make their moment and make their mark in the NBA.
Gotcha. Well, I just wish that you see more of, which I'm not going to really say that about the West, because the West has always been tough. The East needs to step it up and do better, because all the losing records, it especially with the amount of talent that is on the teams, something needs to get figured out where that's just not a thing. But hopefully they're able to figure it out. They do all have talent. It's just bringing it together, bringing the chemistry together to make it work.
Ready to switch up the off-season plan or something. Ready to go over to the West and go to their house and play ball with them every morning or something. I'm leaving that. Switch it up or something. I don't know.
I don't know why it's always been like that, though. It's always been like that with the West. It's like they play each other, and it's like a grind. It's like you got whoever the top is, and then everybody else, they grind it for spots. And but it's always been tough. But last game was the Warriors versus the 76ers. A lot of interesting things happened in this game. Unfortunately, some of it was bad for the 76ers, but the Warriors beat the 76ers 119-107. Tobias Harris led the 76ers with 26. And Steph Curry led the Warriors with 37.
37.
And Splash Brother. So the question is Joel Embiid going to be able to make it the rest of the season? Because he was already having injury issues, and then Kuminga accidentally fell on his leg. So he actually had to lead the game, and that definitely played a part in why the 76ers lost, because you know he's a very important piece to their offense and their defense, and with him not being 100% or close to 100%, that's gonna factor in.
Depending on how bad that injury is, he gonna have to adjust his plan, how he plays, change some stuff around, who knows if that leg will ever be the same again, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, he'll have to do some major adjusting.
Right. And with that runs us through all of the NBA games. And so who do you think is going to be in the NBA championship?
To be honest, I see the Warriors. I see the Warriors going. And let's see, if I was to pick another one.
Who do you think coming out of the East?
Either the Celtics or the Knicks.
You don't think the Timberwolves, who were last I checked, they're basically leading the league?
I forgot what the Timberwolves.
You think they got a shot? I kind of look at them at the way I looked at Detroit. It's good to see them doing good right now.
That don't mean
that they gonna get to the playoffs.
Because sometimes it be a fluke. Like you said earlier.
Your history.
Yeah, and also we'll see who got better through the whole season in the finals. And that's gonna show it right there. Who really got it. Really been putting that overtime and really putting that work in, and the finals is all gonna show. And Chef Curry gonna, you know how he get doing the finals, but he's a different animal in his finals time.
All the trade talk over there with the Warriors though, because of the whole thing with Draymond and Thompson has been off, and there's questions. questions of why, if it has anything to do with the fact that Draymond got his contract, and by the time he got his contract, what they offered Thompson was just like nothing in comparison. So that's probably playing into his play. I don't know, because from an offensive standpoint, I get that he's a defensive threat, but y'all need points.
He's an offensive, he's also offensive threat too.
No. I'm talking about Draymond.
Oh yeah, Draymond, yeah, for sure. Defensive threat.
Draymond is a defensive threat, and he's less of an offensive threat. And you got your offensive threat, and that you pretty much treated like a stepchild. So I don't know. We'll have to see how that plays out. I believe it's gonna be between the Bucks and the Celtics. Tatum, this is probably, now that LeBron is gone, whoever wants to take it better take it.
Not
Boston,
for real.
Boston has been getting plugged. I'm about ready to name them the NBA version of the Dallas Cowboys, because they keep getting named as a team that's going to dominate and end up in the championship, and they keep not doing it.
Hey, don't come because we heard off that statement. Because they really be like that, though. It really be high expectations, and then when they start, the Cowboys start losing, it's like, bro, what's going on?
And you got the people to go, see, I told you so. And you go, y'all some haters. Yeah. How we hating and we telling the truth? Look what happened. So, but yeah, with that, we're going to go to another break, and then we're going to end the show interviewing Mr. Denzel here. Peace.
Is your check engine light on year-round? Do you hear grinding coming from your brakes? Come to AutoZone. We offer to check your check engine light for free. We also offer the latest in brake technology, as well as name brands like Moog and Duralast. We offer 40 locations across the tri-state area. Our professionals will work hard to earn your business. Remember, when you need the latest in affordable automotive parts, get in the zone. AutoZone.
Mental health. Mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act. It also determines how we handle stress, relate to others, and make healthy choices. That's why we have 20 locations all over the tri-state. Visit our Florence location at 7459 Burlington Pike. You can also call us at 859-578-3200. We have 60 certified psychologists and therapists available to help you on this journey to better mental health. Take the first step today. That's 859-578-3200. North Key Behavioral in Florence.
At GameStop, we bring families together with the joy of gaming. It's not just a store, it's an experience. Our friendly and knowledgeable staff are here to help you find exactly what you need. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting on your journey, GameStop is your destination for endless fun and excitement. Visit our website at GameStop.com or stop into our Rookwood location, 2729 Edmondson Road, Cincinnati, Ohio, and level up your gaming experience. GameStop, power to the players.
And we're back. Thanks for everybody that's joining us. Don't forget to hit that like button and feel free to share. Symphony of Disorder, I'm Dante Suave. This is Tay Denzel. So, you're a
recording artist,
songwriter, and an actor.
Yes, sir.
And so, tell us how you got started.
I was making music ever since I was a kid. Like, I recorded my first song when I was 8. So, like, on and off, like, I've always been a bigger guy. So, like, but in Cincinnati, it's weird because they wouldn't let you play Little League if you was a certain weight, like, which is weird to me because they went so hard to try to get me in there, and then they was like, oh, we can't do it. And so it's like, I never could get my frustrations out, or my, you know what I'm saying, as a kid, through, I had no outlet. So music was my first thing, it was my first outlet I had. And I, after 1 year of football, it really wasn't for me for real. So I really just stuck with it. And by the time I was 15, I was already recording myself and stuff like that. But my dad didn't really want me hanging around these guys in the streets. I was rapping and stuff like that. So I already had to learn on my own and stuff like that. I really had to go through trials and trial and error with releasing songs that really wasn't that good and stuff like that. I was even making beats too. And I went through a lot of ridicule with my peers and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? But once I started experiencing life and started, when I graduated high school and started getting out there, started experiencing relationships and real adult life and stuff in the streets too, like that's when my music started changing, started having more substance. And then that led me during the pandemic, because I dropped a mixtape during the pandemic called Mentality. And that was really like me putting my all. I was doing all styles of rap I knew I could do. I was just doing it. And I was even throwing my singing. I was even throwing my singing songs in there, even though I was real self-conscious about them back then. You know what I'm saying? But all my friends were saying, hey, you ready now. You them songs are good. Let's get it. Like, I was dropping them. And right before that time, I got discovered by Freeway Rick Ross. And he really took me under his wing for a weekend, a short period of time. And I seen really what it takes to keep business afloat. I seen him do book signs. I seen him go to radio stations. I seen him do this and the third. And he brought me to this label. And he brought me in. And I'm going to lie to you, he had like 10 of the artists with him. I didn't say about that last time. He had like 10 of the other artists with him. He brought us in the room and was like, all right, now that y'all met me and I showed y'all really what it's like, I want y'all to keep working. Don't think 'cause y'all hear from me, don't think I ain't watching you. And like from that point on, I started getting noticed by the label, because all I was doing was I was just going over here to the studio to record. And Detroit, you know, Detroit, they know that's a dangerous city. So that's not somewhere if you want to start rapping. No, you don't want to just be going around anybody, any studio. You know what I'm saying? That studio was professional. When nobody smoking in there. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no extra activity going on in there. And it was safe. So I started recording. They started hearing what I got. And that wasn't even no studio where people can come in and out of. So that's what I really liked about it. So once they started seeing me going hard on my own without any backing, me investing in myself, me dropping videos and stuff like that, they put the offer on the table to sign me, who I'm talking about is Street Noise Entertainment, owned by Glenn Cannon and Loose Cannon, his father and son label. And Glenn Cannon was my manager. He used to be tour manager of Prince and New Edition. So the artist development I went through was hectic and it was tough. Like, he was really hard on me. So imagine that, but that standard that he's used to having, and he holds everyone to that standard, no matter who you are. You know what I'm saying? See, if he sees something in you, he wants you to have that standard. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's pretty much how my professional career in music started for real at that point. I was like back in like 2021.
I got you. So what happened with things that you're not still there now?
It's not no bad blood towards him, nothing like that. It really was when you go into these contract situations, it's best to do your research and know what you want and know what you want to get out of the situation. I signed a production contract, and if I would have knew better, I would have upped the terms. You know, know what you want, and you gotta, don't be scared to be focal on it, because if you know your worth and you know that they see something in you, because if they wouldn't sign you if they see nothing in you. So you gotta take chances, you know what I'm saying? So, but what that happened was I wasn't able to fulfill everything that was in black and white. So my contract ended up getting terminated. But that's not I can't just go on and be like, hey, F them, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That was just a lesson learned in business for me, because that's really what it boiled down to. You know, you can go through these things all you want. It was just one of those things, man. And it might have just been my time, it might have just been up with them, you know. probably wasn't nothing else that they could do for me to further, you know what I'm saying? I could have outgrew them, or they could have outgrew me. So it just could have been, probably just meant to be.
Yeah, details tend to be very important, and to be able to look at it objectively and go, okay, what actually happened, which I kind of feel like people don't always do that.
Right. I look at the positive thing, like I said, I got my feet wet with the songwriting. Like as soon as T Grizzly Mom got out of prison, I got in the studio with her. Boom, boom. She wants to put out music. I started working with her. I shot my first film, Beautiful Noises, on Tubi. Like those things. Like I will forever be grateful for it. It got my feet wet, and it got me the exposure, and it got me, and it got people here in Cincinnati knowing that I'm taking it serious. You know, cause everybody rapping, everybody making music, but I wanted to show everybody, especially in the city, that nah, I'm really doing this. Like, you know, I want people to know that I can walk in the room humbly, and then when you read my accolades out, you can know that there's a difference between me and just the guy that's going to the studio smoking weed and rapping.
Gotcha. So. Are you working on anything right now?
Yes, actually, I am working on something. I'm working on a project called, it's a sequel to the Valentine's Day project I put out last year called Just Because. I plan on releasing it around Valentine's Day. If not, it might be towards the end of February, but it's gonna be a bunch of melodic R&B inspired type tracks. Like anybody that heard my melodic music is, I go on the R&B side, but I still keep it rapping in some type of melodic sense, but I try to mix it up. I got my own sound, so yeah, that's really the plan. So yeah, so Just Because Volume 2 coming soon, and got another film produced by ZRS Productions, Redemption. It's a short film, it's on the way, directed by Zane.
Okay, if you weren't doing music, what do you think you'd be doing?
I like helping people, so I think I will still be, I'll be doing something media, period, I feel like. Cause.
Not volunteering or anything, or maybe having a business that specifically help people or anything like that?
So I can see that. So when I was a child, I used to live in Louisville, Kentucky. But I was born and raised in Cincinnati, but my daddy got married and moved to Louisville. And so my first experience as a child wasn't that rough Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get that yet. So when my dad decided to move us back, and I came to the city hall, but I see what Cincinnati was like. I was like, whoa, this is different. I was a super nice kid. I was sure of myself, and I didn't care what nobody thought of me. And Cincinnati broke me. it broke me in. Like, it really showed me what the world was like. And I came to Cincinnati, I was like, oh, these kids is vicious. So like, I got bullied a lot and all that one type stuff. You know, like, and on top of that, I didn't really have my mom. I was snatched away from my mom when I was like 2 years old. So it's like I had a whole bunch of abandonment issues and stuff going on at home and stuff going on at school. I really ain't never had no safe place. So it's like I really feel like if I didn't have music, I feel like I would probably be like a social worker or something like that. So I'm like, I probably would like do a lot for kids that really don't be having no safe place. Almost at least that's something I really want to do in the long run too. Like start some type of organization for kids. That's like only sometimes like only kids, people that don't have any siblings go through stuff like that, and yeah, people that just don't that feel like they're outcasts and stuff like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I want to help kids, children that they're not that socially fit. You know what I'm saying? Help them adjust in order so they can be cool and be accepted and still be themselves. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what that is, but when I come up with it, it's gonna be something. But yeah, that's what I'd probably be doing if I wasn't.
Gotcha. And who are some of the people that inspired you?
Music-wise? Okay, so My dad, he listened to a lot of R&B music, but like on that's like, okay, so New Edition, I want to say New Edition, Music Soul Child, heavy on the Usher. Like one of my earliest memories was with my mother playing Usher. Michael Jackson, of course, you can't forget Michael Jackson. But on the rap side, of course, Pop, Big. Who really made me want to rap for real, who really wanted to make me start writing this way was Eminem. When 8 Mile dropped, that was to the head. That was the movie that was like, oh yeah, like that. Oh, also, I've always been big on movies, like music success movies. Like, movies inspire me a lot. I watch them sometimes, especially long movies, like the Jackson 5 movie and Temptations. I'll play them throughout the day and while I'm cleaning up or doing whatever, just because I like for some reason, I feel like if I keep that story, them stories in rotation, I can manifest it into my own. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why I do it. I do that a lot. Like, 5 Heartbeats, I'm inspired by movies too, like heavy. But I want to say Chris Brown too. I'm fans of real artists, you know, like that really go out there and really, like really not only is the music an experience, when you pay tickets to go see them live, that's a whole other experience too, like, you know, so yeah, I'm influenced by a lot. Like, even actors, Denzel Washington, I was dating, that's my middle name, Denzel, that's why I decided to go by my real name. My real name is Trevante Denzel Wilson, but you know what I'm saying, so I just go by Tay Denzel. So like, so I really wanted to keep my essence within me, you know what I'm saying, but like, it's like, Tay Denzel is like a rebrand, you know what I'm saying, but yeah, I'm inspired, I get inspired for all over, rappers, actors, movies, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, it was a pleasure to have you on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
It was good chopping it up with you about the NFL and the NBA, and obviously good luck on your career.
Thank you.
And that is our time.
Yeah.
Dante Suave, Tay Denzel, keep an eye on this movie. And what are your social medias?
That is Tay Denzel, that's with a 3-T-A-3-D-N-Z-L. That's all social platforms. You can find me on all streaming platforms, Tay Denzel. It's again T-A-3-D-E-N-Z-E-L, you will find me.
All right. Don't forget to hit the like, share, and subscribe. Appreciate everybody's time. Till next time, peace out.
Yeah.